Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and avocado, do I?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guests are Krista Viggers and Quinn Weber. They're both from Hydesville School Garden Club. Their big job, the most important job, is that they are both parents. Could you both tell me a little bit about how old your children are and how many children you have?
I have two kids. My daughter is 7. Her name is Jocelyn, and my son is 4. His name is Josiah, and he's a kindergartner, and my daughter is in second grade.
Okay. And how about you, Krista?
Actually, our kids are in the same class. My daughter's in kindergarten. Her name's Layla, and she's 5, and my son's in second grade. And his name's Asa, and he's 6.
And so you have a real connection with Hydesville School. Recently, you have started a garden club there. Now, Quinn, I'd like to start with you because I know that you have told me that you got involved after having read The Omnivore's Dilemma by Michael Pollan. How did that change you?
It just sort of brought me to an awareness of the food that I eat, where it comes from mainly, and what it goes through to get onto my plate. And some of the information in that was pretty shocking. And it's not that I didn't care about my food and what I ate before. It was I just didn't have a value for where it was coming from or who was producing it. It just didn't really enter into my mind. So after I read that, pretty much everything changed. I started seeing the supermarket differently. I started seeing what I put on my plate differently and started to really gain a value for it. I wanted to gain more control over the food that I ate. He talks about reducing the chain of custody of the food that we eat. And so I really started getting interested in growing my own garden and just providing that healthy food for my family and for myself.
And then you started thinking about your kids being in school and how they were learning where their food was coming from.
Yeah, as a parent, I'm really in tune to what my kids eat and want them to eat really healthy. I'm not a purist by any means, but, you know, I want them to eat healthier.
Now, you both decided that you wanted to get something going in a garden at Hydesville School. Now, they already had some boxes out in front of the school, right?
Yeah, they had 4 boxes out there, 4x8 or so boxes, really nice boxes, a nice little area out there, completely empty and just barren. And, you know, Krista, she has a huge garden and I was just getting started. And both of our kids being in the same class, we're friends and we're just talking about this whole idea of local food system. And we saw this space as just an opportunity to grow some food. After reading The Omnivore's Dilemma, I was looking at front lawns differently. All this empty space, I'm thinking we could feed the world. And so I just saw it as an opportunity to grow something and teach the kids about our local food systems, the food that they eat, how to grow it and where it comes from, and, you know, sort of share that knowledge. And Krista was definitely all over that as well.
It sometimes seems like it should be really easy to get something like this going in the school, but it's not quite that easy. Now, how did you guys, you know, get the buy-in from the school to be able to do this?
Well, we started with the parent group meeting. And I'm a big, big dreamer. I have all these crazy ideas about we could do this and we could do apple tree fences. And so Quinn's more of the level me out and think reality. And so we do really well together. So we went in and kind of pitched it to the parent group. And they basically said, why not give it a try? Originally, what we wanted was the parent group to help donate some money. And they just didn't have it in their budget to do that. So we had to go elsewhere. Pretty much the rest was history. We did it within a couple of weeks. We had all the donations, all the strawberries, all the plants. We had, I think, 12 kids at the first meeting. And overnight we had beds with fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. It was quite a process. I mean, when we saw the beds, Krista, being the dreamer that she is, immediately thought of this fantastic plan in phases, of course, of just what to put in and seasonally and, you know, sort of how to go about teaching the kids. We'll teach them about compost. We'll teach them about sustainability. We'll teach them about organic methods. We'll teach them, you know, that carrots come from the dirt, you know.
And potatoes have leaves.
Potatoes have a green part.
I think we thought.
And so we started to put a plan together and, you know, presented that to the parent group. And we had to present that to Mr. Blakely, the superintendent and principal there. And so there was some bureaucracy we had to go through in order to make it happen. But they were more than on board about the idea of doing it. It's just the process of doing it, keeping kids after school, you know, liabilities of having them in the garden area and using shovels. And then there was the energy use with the water. And so there was a lot of concerns that we sort of had to ease throughout the process of getting this started.
Now, tell me about the person who works in the cafeteria.
Mrs. Anaya.
Mrs. Anaya?
Yeah, she's pretty neat. Last week and the week before, mm-hmm. she served our green beans in the school cafeteria, which is really neat. She went out there, she picked them, she washed them, and she served them. She served them cooked one day and fresh the other. And the best part is, she said the kids did not want the green bean, but once she said they're from the garden club, they changed their mind. And she said they were all gone.
She had strawberries come in a few days later or something. I can't remember what it was for some part of the meal. And the kids immediately asked, are these from our garden? Yeah.
So she's more than willing to use whatever we can grow and provide to her, which is one of our goals, to do that, you know, for the kids to do a farmer's market just so they can get familiar with selling the produce. And then we'd like to have enough to donate to Food for People or have them come pick up a box every month after harvest just so the kids can
have the experience of giving back.
And they've got a taste of that, you know, with Miss Anaya having the green beans, and she's even taken some of the onions and used it in the spaghetti sauce. She really has a lot of ownership over it, and I just love seeing her out there, and she talks about all the produce and she wants more of it and told us, you know, what works. The green beans worked, the onions work, you know, and what she might like to see in the garden that she might be able to use in the cafeteria. And
it's so great to have a cafeteria person buy into this because, I mean, they only have a limited amount of time to do their job, and preparing fresh, real food takes time. There's prep time. I mean, if you're just squeezing a plastic packet into a hot serving dish and letting it warm up, that's not going to take any time at all. But if you're chopping things, it takes time.
Chopping green beans and washing green beans? Is a lot of time.
Yay, Mrs. Anaya.
Definitely.
Now, the parents, you've also gotten a lot of parents to be really on board with this and really interested in your project. Now, you're going to be doing, at the back-to-school night, doing a little farmer's market.
Yeah, we just harvested our onions and potatoes, and we'll be selling those at the back-to-school night.
And we'd like to thank Amanda Hunt, another mother that we couldn't do this without. She's been to every meeting, and she's been there with a group of kids since we started. So
We've had so many kids come out. I mean, up to 30 kids during our meetings when we meet after school. And if it wasn't for Amanda, it would be absolutely chaotic.
It's almost overwhelming, but it's such a neat idea, and the kids are really involved. How do you tell them no?
Yeah. Right. It's like you want to be efficient in the work that you're doing, but it's about the process as well, having the children be part of it. Sounds like you've got a lot going on right now, but I know that, Krista, you're the dreamer, and I know, Quinn, you're the pragmatist.
I'm the stabilizer, the planner. Yes. Grounded. She's motivated. She's just does it. And that's, you know, I'm not like that. I'm paralyzed by my analytical thinking.
We completely balance each other out. Otherwise, I would have some crazy projects going on.
Yeah. And with the plans that we have, you know, phase four or so is so far ahead and is so big. But it was in the beginning when we started presenting these ideas, that phase was so overwhelming that we needed to sort of backtrack and say, well, you know, this is what we'll do for right now. And so that was sort of what I bring to the table of, you know, let's ground this right now. This is what we're doing. Phase two, we'll do this. Yeah. Chris is like, let's just build a hoop house in the back. Let's grow some corn. Because she can see it and she can do it like right now. But everyone else is sort of,
scare off
it's
people,
so scary. But we would not have started if it wasn't for her. We would not have started. I would have taken classes. I would have gotten all the budget together. I would have taken business classes. I would have grown my own garden for 2 years and found out what was successful. Then I would have maybe started.
Once they gave us the go-ahead, we were in the car the next day driving around.
We went in with our children oftentimes to the business face-to-face and introduced ourselves, introduced our goals and our plans and basically our passion behind what we're doing. We want to just teach the kids about our food, where it comes from,
how to harvest it,
the process of growing our food, and sort of just give them, you know, reverence for the food that they eat.
We have asparagus beds out there, and there's adults that walk by and they're like, what are those?
Yeah.
Like asparagus. They're like, we had no idea.
Yeah.
We had no idea they look like that.
So parents are really getting an education as well, which is a bonus. It's just all been so successful.
And
kids' standards are already, in just a few short months of being raised, to the food that they eat. Is this coming from my garden? You know, did I plant this? And just the confidence and the pride that they're getting. They're going out there and they're seeing the results of their little thumbs going in the ground and a seed going, you know, I did that. I grew that, and now we're eating this. And I provided it for me. I provided it for you. And I'm just excited to see that already.
As you drive by Hydesville School, take a look at those plants growing in the front. Think about Krista and Quinn and all this work that they've done. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.